all ask questions. Why is the sky blue? What happened to all the dinosaurs? What was the best thing before sliced bread? But some questions are more important than others. How do I forgive someone even when I feel like I can't? What's my purpose in life? How can I be the parent God wants me to be and the one my kids need me to be? So where do we turn? To the one that has all the answers. We'll tackle some of life's most complex issues and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
All right, welcome to another part of our series that we've entitled, You Ask For It. And hey, don't blame me, you asked for it. So it was actually a survey that we did back in Easter where we did a little survey and asked the question, what topics would you like to hear about? And so we built a series around your questions. And I'm really have been enjoying this series. I hope you have. And it helps us just address some of the things that perhaps you're going through. We've dealt with change. We've dealt with forgiveness. Last week we talked about worship and what that means, what that looks like as a church. And I hope that has impacted your life. A lot of things that we've been looking at in this series. And today we're going to have a real different type of a topic. And in fact, I actually decided I would bring a couple of the questions that were actually from the survey. And here's one that says, what is sin? And what will it cost me if I don't accept Christ? What must I do to get saved? Do I really know what this means, and will my life change? And we talked about change, actually, the first week and what that looks like to be able to change. And then I got this one, and let me just tell you that some of these responses, it's kind of like reading a text. I'm always fearful about when a text goes out, because when a text goes out, you know, you have to be real careful how you word it, because it can sound really abrupt, and it may, you know, you can't fluctuate your voice. Thank God for smiley faces, right? Right? Thank God for those little, whatever you call those things, you know? Thank God for those things that you can kind of put there to make sure somebody doesn't take you too seriously when you send out something. This is kind of like receiving a text message, because I didn't know quite how to take some of these. Now, I'm sure that probably the spirit in which this was asked was probably good. But when I first heard it, kind of hit me hard, and it was, and this is you, don't feel put on the spot. I don't know who this is. It's anonymous. It says, I would love to hear more about sin, hell, and change. Now, when I first read that, I thought, I guess they think I'm not preaching enough about sin and hell. You know, I don't know. Again, that may not have been the way you asked that question, but that was the first, when I first heard that, I thought, okay, somebody wants to hear more about hell, fire, and brimstone. We need some of that. In fact, I was asked yesterday, I had a little visit to a tire place, getting some tires worked on, and the guy that was receiving me there, and he found out I pastored church. He had a bunch of questions asked. What series are you in? What do you teach? What are you talking about? What time do you meet? And then one of the things was, are you hellfire and brimstone? And so I was like, well, I believe that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. All right? And then he said, well, you know, sometimes people need to know there's a hell too, you know. And I said, well, yeah, that's true. So there is a balance there. So today we're going to give you a little bit of balance, okay? Now don't put on your fire suit. I'm not going to throw a hellfire and brimstone at you, but we're going to talk a little bit about sin. Sin. I like what Barney Fife's solution to sin was. You remember Barney Fife on Andy Griffith's show? You know, nip it in the bud. Of course, at one time he came out of church. If you remember this, he came out of church. He was sleeping through the whole service. And then they were greeting the preacher as he was on the way out, and they said, yeah, you can't hear enough about that, you know, about sin. You can't hear enough about sin. And the pastor didn't even preach about sin, but anyway, he thought the preacher preached about sin, but he slept through the whole thing, and he didn't know. He just assumed he must be talking about sin. That's what we hear about when we go to church. Here's what I'd like to say, though, about this topic, and that is that we have to be careful, because sometimes what we really want a preacher to do is, And I'm not saying everybody is of this fashion, but I'm just saying we got to be careful we don't go to this extreme. And that is, Pastor, you tell them, Pastor. You get them, Pastor. You give it to them. Yeah, you give it to them, man. And here's the thing. Here's what a lot of times we're doing when we do that. We're preaching to the choir, okay? We get a rally up, you know, we rally up the troops. We get everybody fired up, you know, talking about how bad sin is. But I'm going to tell you, that doesn't change the world, okay? Standing on a street corner with a bullhorn shouting at people, pointing out their sin, does not get people saved, all right? I just don't think that's an effective way. Now, there may have been some success in that. I don't know. I doubt it. But I believe what Christ came preaching was what we need to preach. And that is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he said, but I have come for a different reason. I've come that you might have life and you might have it to the full, that you might have it more abundantly. And I think that we need to remember as we talk about this topic, and I'm just going to spend a couple minutes here prefacing this just to make sure we all get oriented before we get into this topic and know where we're going. Here's what we must understand, and that is, first of all, the definition of sin is, in biblical terms, is to miss the mark. It's to miss the mark. And don't you know that we all miss the mark? In fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's all of us. Everybody say all? That covers it. That's all of us. All of us. None of us have arrived. All right? And so, and then the Bible also goes on to say, though, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. There's something that sin produces, and it produces death. But, here's the good news, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the thing about sin. It's not a good or bad issue. It's not a, I'm going to get, you're a bad person, you need to be a better person. But it's rather that you are actually dead. The Bible describes it, that you're dead in your trespasses. You're dead in your sins. So it's not about good and evil, but rather it is an issue of life and death. And that's the way I want us to look at this issue of sin. Because the Bible goes on to say in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, says, when you were dead in your sins, you were dead. You know what dead means? When you're dead, you're dead. Heard Louis Giglio preach a phenomenal message on this just recently. And he was talking about, you know, when you're dead, you're dead. If somebody is, you're dead or you're real dead? I mean, you know, you're dead, you're dead. There's no different degrees of dead. Y'all get that? You're dead. And when you're living in sin, the Bible describes you as dead. When you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you, look what happened, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. Now get this, he didn't condemn us. Here's what he did. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed, he goes further, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus took all of our sins upon himself. And he who was without sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I actually had a dream last night. I was dreaming of sharing that scripture with you. And I paused right here on that part that says that he made us the righteousness of God. And I'm just telling you today, if we could fathom what that really means. What that means is when God looks down from heaven and he sees us, he doesn't just see us. He sees the Lamb of God. He sees his Son and the sacrifice he made. And he sees us through him, and he is spotless and he is whole. And the only way we stand before God is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he sees us through him. That's what Jesus did for us. And he transferred our sins onto him. He took the punishment for that, and he transferred to us. It's called the great transfer, the great exchange. He exchanged to us then his righteousness. But here's the greatest sin of all, and it is the sin of unbelief. Really, the greatest sin is just not believing in God, believing there is not a God. Sin of not believing, not trusting God. That's probably the great cause. Everything else falls really underneath that. But let me just mention also this, and that is that there's two different types of sins. There's a sin of commission where we willfully go out and we do something wrong. And we have this thing called a sin nature that's within us that wants to do wrong. And Jesus comes to defeat that. We're going to talk about that. But then there's also the sin of omission. The sin of omission. And here's what I'd like to present, and that is that for those that would say, you tell them, Pastor, and by the way, give us a list. Give us a list. Just go ahead and list it on the wall, give us a list, because, see, our list goes beyond the Ten Commandments. We got a long list, or whatever the hottest issue is of the day. And by the way, the issue of the day is not the issue. The issue is God. God is the issue. Are we getting this? God is really the issue. But we got to be careful, because what happens sometimes is we want to point fingers of everybody that's doing wrong, but there's another type of sin, and it's called the sin of omission. And that means those sins that you know, those good things that you know to do, and you omit those, and you don't do that, the Bible calls that sin as well. To you, it is sin. And so rather than pointing fingers of all those that are doing wrong, what I would say is let's check ourselves and make sure that we're not guilty of the sin of omission of going out and loving them to Christ. Can I get a good amen to everybody right there? All right. So, amen. Yeah, that's all right. All right, if you're going to do it right. All right. You're applauding what God's Word says, all right? So look, sin, there's a sin nature. So it's more, I believe sin is more than just an act of doing something wrong. It's more than a behavior, but really it's the heart. The Bible talks about sin. It talks about iniquity. Having transgression, but there's a heart that's wanting to do wrong. And really, here's what I want us to focus on, and that is that we're living in a day where we have moral choices. And oftentimes, there's a moral line that is crossed, and when that is crossed, that gets into the area of sin. It isn't just what we're doing on the outside. There's something that takes place on the inside. It's called oftentimes the big nasty. It's when you just feel, it's because what happens is there's something that begins to die on the inside of you because you're not walking in God's will. You're walking contrary to His will and you're contrary to His Word. And many people have this moral dilemma, and there's this war within. Paul describes it as a war within our members. And for many people, though, sin is not just something that the world is doing, but can I just point out that oftentimes it's present within believers where there's a war going on, where there's something in your life, perhaps, that you haven't quite been able to conquer. There's that one tough area that you haven't been able to get control over. And let me tell you, what happens is it begins to kill you. It begins to destroy you on the inside. And there's this dilemma that's going on, and it will begin to drag you down. And our choices drag us down. Our moral choices will drag us down, destroy us. Ezekiel has a lot to say about this, and Ezekiel actually says to turn your back on rebellious living so sin won't drag you down. Because here's the deal. Sin always, 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 always leads to death. Sin leads to death. I actually heard of a service on the internet where you can go and arrange an affair. You can have an affair. They can arrange it for you to have an affair. I mean, that's the day in which we live. As if there's your solution, go have an affair. Can I tell you, sin never, never, never works. If you're entertaining an option that's involving sin, let me tell you, it never, ever works. It will lead to death. We have a lot of things going on that actually, hear me out now, that are permeating the church. And our motto is around here that we want to engage the culture. What that means is we want to engage the culture with a life-giving message of Jesus. There's a difference. When you come to Christ, there should be a change happen in your life. And when you get changed, you go out and you change the world. But here's what's happening. In a lot of cases, that change is the other way around. And the world is permeating the church. And we need to be awake as Christians and understand the day in which we live. There's a show that's on TV right now called Modern Family. I would call it Perverted Family. Okay? I told you we're going to talk about sin, all right? I'm telling you, and they make it look like it's the new norm, and it works. Can I tell you, anything contrary to God's word does not work. Now, we're not saying this against anybody. Here's the thing. God's word, God's law, it's not against you. In fact, God's law is not for him. It's for you. It's for you. God put us together. He knows how this thing works. He's God. He wants what's best for you. He has a plan for your life and a will for your life. And anytime we go contrary to that, it doesn't work. You know, somebody talks about the breaking of the Ten Commandments. And somebody said, you really can't break the Ten Commandments. What happens is the Ten Commandments still stand. It's you that breaks when you don't follow them. All right? So, but hear this. I mean, we live in a day, and I've hesitated about sharing this one with you, but I'm going to go here, okay? Y'all, hopefully you'll be here next week. I don't know. But there's a song on the radio that's been out for a few years now, and it says, I kissed a girl and I liked it. And you might be saying, well, what's wrong with that? Well, it was a girl that wrote the song, okay, and sings the song. And can I just share with you the lyrics? We okay? Everybody still okay? Kids are in kids' church, right? All right. I kissed a girl and I liked it. The taste of her cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl. Just had to try it. Hope my boyfriend don't mind it. It felt so wrong. It felt so right. Don't mean I'm in love tonight. I kissed a girl and I liked it. No, I don't even know your name. It doesn't matter. You're my experimental game. Just human nature. It's not what girls do, not how they should behave. My head gets so confused, hard to obey. Us girls are so magical, soft skin, red lips, so kissable, hard to resist, so touchable, too good to deny it. Ain't no big deal. It's innocent. No, it's not innocent. No. Y'all still with me today? All right. It's wrong. But listen to this. It's not about just right or wrong. It's not just about good or evil. It is about life and death. And so there is a moral decay and a moral chaos. And what I've subtitled this message is the chaos of sin. Because here's what I do know. Sin always brings not only death, but on the journey there, it brings confusion. If you find confused people, a lot of times it's because there's sin present there. Okay? God is not the author of confusion. But let me just share with you this. I dedicate this message to all those that have this tough spot, this area, that you're trying to get victory over. Okay? You're trying to overcome this area of perhaps some particular sin in your life. Let me just encourage you with this, and that is that the Apostle Paul, yes, the one who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, the great church planter, the Apostle Paul, shares his struggle in Romans chapter 7. It's there in your notes. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. There's a part of me that loves God. I love God. I love coming to church. I love singing the songs. But I see another law at work in my members of the members of my body. There's this war going on, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. Everybody say that, prisoner. Prison. There's a lot of people in prison. There's this thing that captures people. In fact, the devil would love to put something in your life just to keep you in a place of imprisonment so that you can't fulfill what God wants you to fulfill with your life. All right? He says, it's making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. And he cries out. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So I wanted to talk about how we get out of this place of death. You know, Judges is an interesting book. Judges, there's some crazy stuff that goes on in the book of Judges. But but what happened in the book of Judges, they had no king. There was nobody to pastor them. There was nobody to parent them. There was nobody to instruct them. There was no leadership there. And it says that in those days, Israel had no king. In Judges chapter 21, in those days, Israel had no king. And everyone did as he saw fit. And because they just did whatever was right in their own eyes, they got into a mess. Can I just pause right here and tell you that the reason we're in this mess right now is because at the very beginning, God said some things to Adam and Eve. And as he said those things to Adam and Eve, there came a liar, the father of lies, on the scene. And here's what he said. Well, now God didn't really mean what he said. Did God say that? No. God didn't really say that. God, what God really meant was this. And can I tell you that we live in this, in the same lie going on? God has a law. God has a way for us to live our life. And it works. And then society around us comes in and says, well, God, well, no, you're, no, no, let me reinterpret what God really meant. And can I tell you, that's how we got in this mess from the beginning. And that's how your life will stay in a mess if you continue to follow the lie. But here's what I know, and that is you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be free. I want you to live. I want you to breathe. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to enjoy the joy and the peace of life that comes from walking in right relationship with God. The result in Judges was chaos. The result is death. It always leads to that. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, 7. This tells us what we need to be doing. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It says, even if it doesn't make sense to you, you fear the Lord and do what is right in His sight, and it will bring health to you. And Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You know, there was a show on TV when I was growing up called Get Smart. Y'all remember that one? They actually made a movie of it a few years back. And there was this guy, Maxwell Smart, remember? Agent 99, his assistant. And they would go out and try to combat all the evils and fight the forces of evil. And the forces of evil that came to them was always the same organization. And the name of that organization was called Chaos. Y'all remember? Yeah. It was called Chaos. And the organization of Maxwell Smart was called Control. And so, you know, I think about that. I think we need a way to get some control over the chaos. And the way to do that is we've got to get God's mind inside of us. I want to just paint a scene of chaos that's found in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. Look at this. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, just file that word away, simple, simple, not wise, but simple. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. I'm telling you, what we need is some wisdom. Now look what happens in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Read on. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. His life. Here's what I'm saying. We need to get smart. We need to get smart. And I'm afraid that for many, we lack judgment. Can I just say this? Even especially oftentimes among the younger generation. Well, it doesn't hurt me to go to that R-rated movie, you know. It doesn't hurt me to listen to I Kissed a Girl. I didn't kiss a girl. I'm just listening to it. We need to be careful what we walk into. I tell you, I see conversations happening where I could see where it's going. I can see if I say this, it's going to take me a place that I don't want to go. And it's amazing to me how, you know, I mean, I'm outside all the time, and I can tell when the wind blows and the leaves are blowing, and I can hear the sound. I know a storm's coming. Because in Charlotte, look, listen, folks, the wind's blowing two times. Either something's blowing in or something's blowing out. You're not living at the beach, all right? I'm just saying, okay? And, I mean, it's amazing to me that you, people see a storm cloud rolling, and they just walk right into it. And I would say we lack, oftentimes we lack wisdom and we lack judgment. We need godly counsel and godly wisdom. We need wisdom. And I believe even as a church, a lot of times, now listen to me, we could have a lot of knowledge and we could take the notes, but oftentimes we lack wisdom. Knowledge is one thing, but that's not wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is when you take what you've learned and on Monday, you take what you learned on Sunday and apply it to Monday, right? Okay? In fact, wisdom is not just knowing what to do, but actually doing it. So I got a lot of wisdom. Are you doing it? I believe wisdom is an action word. Knowledge is something you have. Wisdom is moving into it, all right? It's knowing what to do, but actually, not just knowing what to do, but actually doing it. And on the other side of that, wisdom is not just knowing what not to do, but actually not doing it when you're not supposed to do it. It's when you've got a mouse in hand, right? And you don't click it. Because wisdom says, don't go there. Don't go there, right? It's when you've got a date and he's going in the wrong direction. And you say, no, I can't do it. Can't touch this, all right? Oh, y'all sing it the next time. I can't sing it. No. Can't touch this, all right? It's saying, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. And the church needs some wisdom. Look at, this is not in your notes. I put this in, it's maybe up on the screen, I'm not sure. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding, right? How do we do that? Two things I want to share with you that will make you wise. And that is, number one, fear the Lord. And honestly, we don't talk a lot about this around here. Because like I said at the beginning of this message, I believe it's the kindness of the Lord that leads people to repentance. Right? But I want to tell you, a little healthy dose of fear doesn't hurt. Here's what I want to make sure people understand. There are people in sin, and if we don't burn the bridge to them with our pointing the finger, we might be able to, through the love of Christ, reach them and help them discover the life that's in Christ and the purpose God has for their life that's better than what the world has to offer, okay? So we got to be careful we do this in the right way. I want you to know that God is your best friend. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit walks with you day by day, and He is your best friend. I'm going to tell you that living your life for Christ is the best thing that can happen for you. You'll experience joy and peace as you walk with Him. I mean, it's the best way, I'm telling you, to live your life on this planet Earth is to live for Jesus, okay? But what I do also understand is there's a balance to that. Because as you fly this plane, there's another wing that holds it in balance, and that is that God is righteous and God is holy. And I believe as we walk with Him, the more we should become like Him. And one day, I'm just going to put this out here because this is truth I'm sharing with you today. One day, He's going to judge you. You're going to stand before God of the universe. The God of the universe, you're going to stand before Him. And a little dose of that doesn't hurt you to understand that there's another side of this, and that's God too. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, when we talk about fear, I'm not talking about, oh, I'm afraid. Oh, he's going to kill me. Oh, he's going to knock me over the head. No, that's not what we're saying. We're talking about fear. We're talking about a healthy respect for who He is and for what He said. So I say, well, God, you said that, but I'm going to work this out. I can figure this out myself. No. The fear of God is, God, I respect you. Who you are, even if I don't always understand you and your ways, but I fear you, and I honor you, and I respect you, and I know you're God, and you know what's best for me. And God, even though I don't understand all your laws and your commands and your ways, God, I'm going to follow them because I'm going to do this. I'm not going to trust in my own understanding. I'm not going to lean into my own understanding. I'm going to trust you with all my heart. Lean not into my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge you, and you will direct my paths, Lord. That's the fear of the Lord. Even if you disagree with it, listen, you submit to his will and his ways. I had a conversation with one of my boys yesterday, and I said, obedience does not require agreement. Dad, I don't want to do that. So, you're going to do it anyway. Right? Because you're going to trust me, and you're going to respect me, and you're going to love me. Because I love you, and you know I love you, and I'm going to tell you what you need to be doing. But I don't agree with that, Dad. It don't matter. It doesn't require agreement. Right? Well, once it makes sense, then I'll obey. That's not submitting. That's not obedience. Obedience is when, God, I don't even agree, but I'm going to obey you. Because I love you. Because I honor you, and I respect you. Right? All right. So what I'm saying is we've got to give God the place of honor in our lives. And that involves, listen to this, that involves the fear of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, it gives us the seven spirits of God. The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And what we need to be praying is, God, give me a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord in my life every day. In fact, we need to, for you extra note takers, just write down Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And I think as those seven spirits, we need to pray that every day in our life, God, help me to receive the Spirit of God, these seven spirits of God in my life and walk in that. Proverbs 16 and 6 says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. That's how we avoid evil. We look at the blessing of the Lord that comes from the fear of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 19 and 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched. I can't do it. Untouched by trouble. What is it saying there? There is a rest in that place. There is a rest. Wouldn't it be great to go to bed tonight and know that there's no conflict between who you are on the inside and who you are on the outside? There's not a distance between you and God, but you're close. And who you present to others is the real person of who you are. That comes from walking in the fear of the Lord and in favor of the Lord, right? In His will and His way. So look at this. Number one, that is fear of the Lord. There in your notes, fear of the Lord. Number two, follow God's word. Follow God's word. Follow God's word. We need to be in God's word every day. And by the way, His word is spirit and life. This week I had the opportunity to go to the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove. Thank you, Karen, for telling us about the opportunity. It was Pastor Appreciation for the month of October, and they allowed me and my wife to go free. It was awesome. Free lodging, free food. It was great. And we got to be fed spiritually and physically, but spiritually it was just phenomenal. And the speaker was talking about how that, you know, sometimes we don't use the word because we think, well, this person may not believe the Bible, so you can't use the Bible as a point of truth. You can't use the Bible because, I mean, they'll say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Then you have no point of conversation. And he brought up a great illustration. He said, you know, if I was going to go and I had it in my heart, I wanted to kill somebody, and I had a knife in hand, and I sawed him out, and I went to him, and I raised up the blade that I was going to kill him with, and they started laughing, Oh, you scared me for a moment there. I thought you were going to do something to me. What? What are you talking about? Standing here with a knife over you. Oh, if you'd had a gun, I knew a gun would kill me, but I don't believe that will kill me. So just go ahead. Let's get this over with. I got to go eat, you know. They didn't believe in that. You know what I'm saying? Can I tell you, the Word of God works whether a person believes it or not. Okay? All right? So I'm saying we need to use the Word of God and understand there is power in the Word of God. It is spirit and it is life and it is breath. It's pneuma. It comes not to kill, though. It comes to give us life. Amen. The Bible describes it as sharp as a two-edged sword, the Word of God, and it has power in our in our life. So we've got to understand the importance of being in the Word every day. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. My son, pay attention. What's it saying there? My son, pay attention to the Bible, to what I say. Listen closely to my words, the Bible. Do not let them, the Bible, out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Proverbs 1:19 says, how can a young man keep his way pure but by living according to your word? Again, the issue is not right or wrong or good or bad. The issue is life and death. And for many of us, we're tormented by sin, and I'm going to tell you, it's killing. It's killing you. I want to tell you, live in the Word of God. Amen. He meant what he said, and it works, all right? I want to give you some support, though. God comes that we might have life and life to the fullest. And he gives us his Word like it brings us to life. And while sin is killing us, God comes like, you know, you go to the hospital and they put that IV in you, and they give you some life support and they help you and they revive you. That's what God's Word does to us. And I want to share with you what the positive. Now, Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, he's about everything that, oh, what a wretched man I am. I'm wrestling with sin. But look at how positive the next chapter is, because he understands what the solution is. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Can I say, there's no condemnation in God, and we don't condemn you either. Guess what? Because we did the same thing, all right, or something similar, and some are still doing it. Are you with me? Okay. Yeah, we're real having a good time today. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Because through Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, get this, set me free from the law of sin and death, right? So there's no condemnation in Christ. We're all in the same hospital, right? We're all in a mess, and God's healing us and getting us where we need to go. Here's the difference between condemnation and conviction, because God does come to convict you. Condemnation says you messed up, you dirty dog, you rascal, and it condemns you. But conviction says you messed up, and here's the way out. It offers a way of escape. It offers us to be free from the law of sin and death. Jesus came to set you free. He didn't just come to make you feel sorry. He came to set you free. Micah 7 says that he delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. He doesn't say, well, you messed up, I just can't wait. Sometimes I think people operate in the mode that when somebody messes up, we're just going to push them down, and they deserved it, and look what happened to them. No, that's not the nature of God. God's nature is, I pray that after they come to the pig pen, that they come to themselves and allow me to show them mercy. He says he delights to show mercy. Jesus came to get us out of the place of death. And how do we get to that place? Let me quickly give you three things. Number one, give your life to God. The greatest way to overcome evil is to fall in love with Jesus. The best way to obey the Bible is not to just try to obey the Bible. The best way to obey the Bible is to fall in love with Jesus. The best way for me to stay faithful to my wife is to fall in love with her. It's not for me to get up every day and repeat, well, don't commit adultery, don't commit adultery, don't commit adultery, don't commit adultery. No, it's to fall so in love with my wife that nothing else is on the radar. Are you with me? Same thing with God. We fall in love with Him. He becomes our delight. And we come to God. And the Bible tells us how to do this. And that is we come and we confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. And don't just say, no, God, I kind of messed up. No, call it what it is. I've sinned, God. I've broken your laws and your ways. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So give your life and fall in love with Jesus. Romans 8 says, you, however, are controlled by the sinful nature. But by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body, get this, is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's the change that God wants to bring in your life. And it becomes a get to, not a got to. It becomes your nature now to follow Christ. Number two, and that is, say no to sin. Say no to sin. Guess what? You're hearing a great message today, right? Phenomenal message, right? But guess what? Tomorrow the devil's coming after you. You're going to make decisions and say, yeah, I made a decision. Yeah, I'm going for it. And guess what? Tomorrow the devil's going to come after you because that's what he does. And it's going to require, listen, you using wisdom. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. What that misdeeds word there means is there's good deeds and there's bad deeds. The bad deeds are a misdeed. It's when that woman comes to you at the water cooler and you say, no, not going there. It's when that date is inappropriate and you say, no, I'm not going there. In fact, when you're in a relationship with someone that's not committed to Christ and doesn't, and is not, girls, if you have a guy that you're interested in that isn't passionate for Christ and isn't in love with Jesus more than he's in love with you, can I give you some advice? Dump him. I'm just trying to be a pastor. That's all I'm trying to be. In fact, text him right now. Say, it's over, right? Because it will lead you down the wrong path. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, avoid every kind of evil. Another verse says, make no provision for the flesh. If you're flirting with people, guys going around kissing all the girls, stop it. I'm just a flirt. I'm just flirtatious. I don't mean anything by it. Stop it. I used to have a guy around here that liked to hug all the women real strong. Guess what? We had a talk. And then he did it again, and we had another talk. He ain't here anymore. I'm just saying. A storm's coming. You see it. Don't walk into it. Why am I saying all this? Because I want you to live. I'm preaching wisdom here to the church, y'all. Okay, I'm preaching love, all right? Look at the third point. Live out God's plan for your life. Live out God's plan for your life. Walk in wisdom. And find out what God's called you to do. That's why today we're having Discovery 301 to help you live out God's plan for your life. You need a purpose. I think a lot of times the reason people fall in sin is they don't have a purpose. It's just whatever. It don't matter, whatever, living my life any old way, just trying to get through it. And we need to have a purpose. Look at Romans 8:28, for we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It is a life and death situation. Look at Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Dwayne, just come and help me close out because I just want to just say something right here. We did a series sometime back about choices. Actually used this verse here. The choices you make not only affect you, but according to Scripture, it says your children will be affected too. I just got to say this. I have a pastor's heart. I have a pastor's heart. I love you. I love you. And I want to pastor you. And I want to help you. I want to help you grow in grace. I want to help you grow in favor of the Lord. I want you to walk in wisdom so that you can experience the fullness of life that God has for you. But oftentimes I grieve. I grieve because I see choices that are being made that are bad. I see children making choices. And can I just be honest with you? Everybody, take your guard down and receive this because I mean it in love. Sometimes I look at the choices children are making and the behavior children have, and then I look at, and then I say, what in the world? And I turn and I look at the parents and I go, oh, okay. How you live your life matters. Your children are watching you, and they, can I tell you what children need? This is just a little add-on, addendum at the end of the message for free. No charge here, y'all. Children need parents. Children need parents. And I'm sick and tired of parents that are afraid to parent their children. Children need parents. Now, I say that with love because the verdict's still out on mine. Okay? All right? On my own children. But there's a reason why my son works countless hours here at the church and is passionately in love with God and passionately in love with his children to the point he gets angry for with people who are not as engaged. There's a reason why he's that way. You know why he's that way? I'm that way. That's why. That's why. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. Please, I hope, if you don't know me, I hope you'll give me a little grace here today. And those of you that know me, you know me. You know I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. But I'm saying we need to pastor our, we need to parent our kids. And I'm trying to parent, I'm trying to pastor them. We need to be an example. We need to walk in wisdom. Our children need boundaries. Our children need guidance. Our children need conversations. Our children need to know it's not you pointing the finger at them, but you're sitting beside them and you're loving them through what they're going through. And you're in their business. Yes, you're in their business. My kids, I tell them, they get defensive like, Dad, I'm your dad. Hello, that's who I am. I will be up in your business. I will get in your business. I will get in your stuff. You have no privacy. I know some of you are going, now, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm telling you, we need somebody, because you know why I'm able to do that? I do it with love. They know I love them. They know I love them. And I'm not the supreme parent. I don't have it all together. Last night I was at my house. I said, can we function like a normal functioning family is supposed to function? I know we got moments of dysfunctionality ourselves. You know, we got one eating here, one eating there. One got a bowl of cereal while mom's cooking. What are you doing? We're about to have supper. What are you doing? Yeah, I mean, we ain't got it all together. Don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you, we need to be loving on each other, caring for each other, and we need to do that for one another. Amen? I'm sorry, that was extra. Don't charge me for that one. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I love you. Most importantly, God loves you. God offers life, and he offers a way out. You're here today, and you know there's some area in your life that you need to get victory over. Something that the devil is just kicking you down with. I'm going to tell you today, you can have freedom in Christ. And that's following godly biblical principles. It's simple. But yet, it's hard because it goes against our own nature of our own flesh where we rebel and we want to do our own thing and do it our way. But today I want to encourage you to do it God's way because it's the only way that works. And I want what works for you. I want life for you. If you're here today and you know that there's an area in your life you need to surrender to him, and maybe you just need to surrender your life anew, afresh. It may be a rededication, or maybe you come into Christ for the first time, but in some way you need to give it to God. I want to lead you in a prayer to do that, a prayer of surrender, commitment, we call it. Committing it to the Lord, committing ourselves to the Lord. If you're today, here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to have the boldness and the courage to just say, that's me. When you pray, would you agree with me in prayer? I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. I'm just going to agree with you and lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting, a life-giving prayer. If that's you, right quickly, would you just slip up a hand all over this place, those that need me to pray. God bless you. God bless you this morning. Amen. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand. You can put it right back down. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, God bless you today. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hands are going up. Anyone else? All right, you can put those hands down. Let me just lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting. Would you just whisper this prayer to God? Mean it with your heart, with sincerity, from your heart. But just pray this prayer. I'm just going to help you with the words. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender. Forgive me for going my way and doing my will. Today I come, giving myself to you to do your will, your way. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Today I repent, meaning I turn from my ways, and I follow you. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. And from this day forward, I will follow you as you enable me, God, with all of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. I accept you now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for each person that just prayed that prayer. Now, God, every area of their life, we surrender to you. God, every difficult place, we surrender to you. And we declare your lordship over their life. God, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of their heart. God, and now may the Prince of Peace come in and rule and reign in their hearts and minds. Give them a new nature to follow the things of God. God, as they fall in love with you, may everything unlike you fall off. And we ask it, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, I pray for every person in this church. We pray, God, that we'd walk in victory, we'd walk triumphant, that we would walk, God, not with a chain around our legs, God, but we would walk free, and that we'd be able to accomplish what you called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Amen. 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 Amen.